It has been reported that Mateen made calls to 911 this morning in which he stated his allegiance to the leader of the Islamic State. We are looking into any and all connections, both domestic and international.
It was reported and then later confirmed that indeed that did take place. Joining us on the line right now to give us more perspective on this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka, author of the book Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Gorka.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
All right. So he pledged his allegiance to ISIS in a phone call on 911. It seemed very early on in this investigation that police had some indication this man had a radicalized view of Islam.
Right. Not only do we have the reports of what he said to the 9/11 call handlers, we also have within hours of the attack, and this is very, very unusual, potentially very significant, we have the main propaganda media arm of ISIS, the Islamic State, officially claim responsibility for this attack. This is unusual because with Al-Qaeda and ISIS or the Islamic State, we often see a long, long delay, sometimes even days, if not weeks, for them to claim responsibility for an attack.
So what do you read into that?
It could be simply the significance or the size of it. It doesn't mean that they're responsible for it, but if we take the fact that this is the largest attack since September the 11th, it's just so very significant. It's something they want to make into a propaganda coup. So let's wait and see. Everybody's searching right now for those potential operational ties to somewhere, somebody in ISIS. But their official acceptance, that's big. That means that this is what they want to see, and they want to send a message to other sympathizers that this is the kind of attack they want to see on U.S. soil.
Dr. Gorka, you heard a lot from political leaders yesterday talking about intolerance, about hate, about acceptance, and obviously the target here, a gay club in Orlando, a gay nightclub, reflected the fact that there was more than just your standard Islamic terror hatred of America and the West and our freedoms, but this was specifically targeted to homosexuals. I wonder if you could reflect a little bit about the doctrine that these guys follow and how, frankly, ubiquitous murder and slaughter of gays are under ISIS-controlled territories or other countries that hold on to radical Islamic teachings.
Completely, Larry. So the thing that's important to remember here is it's not a hate crime. Let's just jettison that for a second, because it's really to be couched in a larger perspective that this is a holy war for the perpetrator. So like the San Bernardino killers, this individual sees themselves as in a holy war. They're doing what they do for the glory of God. And for them, Sharia, or the puritanical 7th century Islam, is what they wish to create everywhere. That's what the caliphate, the Islamic State, represents. And one of the first things I posted on social media is a photograph of a famous ISIS video where you can see them hurling individuals who are accused of being homosexuals off the roof of tall buildings on ISIS territory. This shouldn't be surprising to anyone. They want to kill the infidel, that's all of us, but for them, homosexuality is one of the gravest sins. So this reflects the reality of what's happening on ISIS territory.
There is a report this morning out of Florida that this man may have been the follower of sort of a radical teacher of Islam who just got out of prison in that particular area. Are you surprised by that?
No, that's something that we've seen as a trend already. You can go back 15 years to the first significant plot after September the 11th, the reason we all have to take our shoes off when we get onto a plane. Richard Reid, the shoe bomber, was the first instance, but we've seen dozens of individuals who actually convert to Islam in prison or are talent spotted, are recruited by radical individuals and imams in prison. So this is a phenomenon we've seen in Europe and America, and really represents one of the hotbeds of jihadi recruiting are the federal prisons.
Dr. Gorka is our guest. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, his book is Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. Can I ask you this? This is a debate going on with our political leaders right now. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama refuse to use the term radical Islamic terrorism or even Islamic terrorism. Donald Trump does. And Hillary Clinton said something very interesting yesterday. She said, using that kind of language plays into our enemy's hands. Will you reflect on that for a moment and tell me, what is our enemy's response if we were to call them out, what they are, Islamic terrorists, or whether we choose not to use that term? What does it affect them one way or the other?
Let's just take politics off the table for a second. The Islamic State, the jihadists, now control territory in Libya, in Syria, in Iraq, and even through Boko Haram in Nigeria. They have more than 6 million people living on their territory. They're making upwards of $4 million a day from oil sales, racketeering, hostage taking. They have at least 80,000 trigger pullers or jihadis. Do any of your listeners really think our calling them what they call themselves will make them stronger or weaker?
You're right. Yeah, it's. I think you said it all there, and I appreciate it. It calls out exactly the absurdity of their claims. Thank you. I wish we had more time with you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Always good.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us.